Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guidance.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this soundtrack.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, copy guidance.
Okay,
we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot del H. Goes based on the data you had prior to LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Vital.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue. PDI.
Coming to you live from the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country in Shingle Springs, California, this is your host, John Almada.
You too, Sam. You're all right.
Bye, Otome.
Bye, Sam.
Godspeed, Patrick. And like I put on my website the day after you passed, the world was better for you being in it, my friends. And so that starts off interesting show. Lots been going on. I don't know about the rest of you out there, but and I'm just going to kind of do a quick poll of our guests out there. We got a lot of nice folks out there. I see Bergie and Dennis and my buddy Scully from ED Paranormal and guest 4513 and 4557 and Sherry, who I hunted with on the USS Hornet. So it's good to see all you guys out there in the chat room. And for the lurkers out there that I don't see, hello all to all of you. But I wanted to do an informal poll and ask you guys, have you noticed that communications have been a little screwy lately, that people are taking things wrong, that stuff's going wrong, that things are breaking, you're saying one thing and people take it as another and they go crazy and all kinds of things like that? So if that's the case, you know, pop that on the chat room and maybe talk about it a little bit. Just be curious, because I know I have had one hell of a week, and I finally, somebody popped me onto the news that it was Mercury retrograde, and I went out and looked, and sure enough, if I go out to the page I pulled up on this, over at astroprofile.com, 2009 Mercury RX.HTM, they have from September 6th and 7th all the way to September 29th. We've got to go through this, so make sure you spell it out really clearly, what you're telling people. And even if it's a lot of hooey and maybe there's not something to it, it's probably not a bad idea to be clear in communications anyway. So, but I tend to think there's something to it, because, man, I'll tell you what, everybody's just about ready to kill each other at my workplace. So I'm just glad to be out of there. I had the day off today, and I've got the weekend. Thank God, because I couldn't take another second of that day. So that said, we're going to have a special guest on, Renee Martin, I believe is the way we say it, and she'll correct me if I'm wrong. She's a psychic medium from Sacramento, and I was kind of put in touch with her at the last minute, shall we say. We had one of those miscommunications on our earlier guest. Tuesday Miles is going to be here, but some stuff happened, and we're going to probably try to get her back on for October 2nd. So we're looking to have her on. She's really good, and so we're going to see about getting her in. But we've got Renee, who has an interesting set of websites. And if you happen to go out there on the show page, there's a couple of links out there. They're not clickable. You have to cut and paste them. But go out and check out her pages. Very nicely done. Great music that pops on. You feel like you've walked into a peaceful forest scene when you go into her website. It's just very beautiful, and she has a social network that she's created, and she does a little web design too. So she offered to do some work for me, and I'm looking at it going, you know, she does pretty good stuff. I'm a pro myself, but I kind of like her style, so I may think about that. Let's see who we got. That's why I chose to stay home. Good move, man. And Sherry, all Mercury, tried to teach classes and messed up really bad, could not communicate at all. Yeah, it's the common theme, and I don't know what it is about that. I'm going to have to, let me read it off here. It says here on this website, the gray shadow areas are those called the shadow period. The gray shadows mark the beginning and ending of Mercury's influence. Shadow begins when Mercury is at a position where it later turns direct, and shadow ends when Mercury returns to position where it went retrograde. The retrograde cycle starts with warning shadow days. Intensity increases during the red letter or storm days, and then things move into the heightened chaos, which we've been through, of the Mercury retrograde. And then Mercury slows down, and we have red letter days at the end of the retrograde, a final tapering off of the Mercury effect, and then the closing shadow period, and then clear days ahead. Thank God. I can't wait for the 29th. I think I'm just going to go climb in a hole someplace, because it's been horrible. So, just mark that on your calendars, the 29th, and then you can come out, and we'll have one hell of a party. Some other news here. We are now... GRI is now a member of the family of Ghost Adventures crew, and I know that I'm not sure what that means yet, because I'm not sure if they're going to call me and want to look at some of my haunts, but GRI is now partnered with GAC. So we feel pretty honored that they selected us. They had an application process, and I was surprised to see we got accepted pretty readily, and so we're really glad to be associated with them, and we really think they do some great work. So, wahoo, we've got that on our page. If you go out on the Ghostwriter investigation page. You may hear a difference in the microphone today. We put a little money into the studio, and I now am the proud owner, as of 5 o'clock this afternoon, when the FedEx truck pulled in, a broadcast-quality microphone called the Shure SM7B. And so this thing is built like a tank, and it sounds pretty good, too. I'm really very pleased with what I did with this purchase of this. So we've been making the show better. So we've got the microphone that that Thriller, the album Thriller, was recorded with, and it is present in virtually every major studio in the country. So we are in there with the big guys. We're showing we need business here in the paranormal broadcast world. So we got that, and we have a new co-host scheduled to start. Next week, I'm going to keep it a secret who that is, but you've heard her before. She's been on the show, and she's a real sweetheart. So we're part of the reason I got this mic is so I could have a second stand in here, because she is going to be present in the studio with me. My God, a physical human being in here. This is going to be weird. I'm going to have to make two pots of coffee. So we're going to do that and have her sit in with me, and she is a pretty experienced paranormal investigator. She's got holsters for all the gear, and she knows how to use it all. So, watch out when she's on our hunt with you. So we will be featuring her next week, along with talking about the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. We're going to have some folks there. I think Rebecca is the name of the lady we're going to be talking with. So anyway, let's get to the news, and we do this every week. And I went out and just picked through the random cycling of Google searching. Again, we, as I said earlier, we dedicated the show to Patrick Swayze, and let's see, we got here from, I'm trying to read the site name, theexaminer.com, one of our favorite sites. Back in the 80s and 90s, Patrick Swayze pulled off the impressive feat of being an action hero and a romantic heartthrob. But aside from portraying a Russian fighting teen, a bank-robbing surfer, a philosophy-spouting bouncer, a bad boy dance instructor from the wrong side of the tracks, Swayze was famous for being a specter. In the romantic drama Ghost, Swayze plays Sam, boyfriend to Demi Moore's Molly, and when Sam is killed in a mugging that turns out to have been premeditated, he misses the chance to go into the light and wanders around the New York City area with a desire to avenge his death and protect his gal. And basically, as a ghost, he's got a big to-do list and he's got a lot to learn. And for a movie that predates the current paranormal pop culture boom and was released before we all knew the lingo oft repeated on paranormal reality TV, Ghost gets a lot of it right, and as far as we know, it is all right. And so I won't go on with this. If you want to go search this out on Google, just say search for Patrick Swayze paranormal pop culture trendsetters. But I will take a moment, though, to say Ghost was a movie that really affected me. I grew up in a paranormally aware family, and I was surprised when that movie came out, and so much of what I had been told by a lot of my family turned out to be mirrored in this movie. And so I really think that it was a real formative thing for, my particular interest in this whole field. And I really like the fact that it was based on something that a lot of people forget about when we go out hunting ghosts, and that's that these are real people that have lived and had interesting lives and done a lot of things, but not only that, they have a lot of love. And if you remember that, when you go out and you treat these people with the respect they deserve and these spirits out there with the respect that they've earned, you will find, I think, that you'll have a lot more success in your hunts. So, a tip of the hat tonight, and as I said, the show's dedicated to Patrick Swayze for this movie and to the movie Ghost. I advise everybody out there, if you've got a copy of it or can get hold of one, go out and watch it again, because I think it brings home some simple values that I think make a big difference with regard to the paranormal. Just remember that. So anyway, that story is basically done with, and we're going to move on. And And not only that, I'm going to say one last thing, return real quick to Patrick. I know he's doing fine on the other side, and I just hope one of these days he pops in and says hi to somebody and freaks a whole lot of people out. So, Patrick, here's to you, my friend. All right, we're going to move on to UFOs. Oh, my God. We're looking at the Santa Fe Reporter, local news and culture. This is one of those regional stories. UFOIA, paranormal experts feel alienated by Obama. And this is from September 16th by David Mass. And it reads, change may be harder to believe in than extraterrestrial life, at least when it comes to releasing classified records, according to ufologists in attendance at Angel Fire's first paranormal symposium. The only change is the minimum of opinion. I'm going to repeat that. The only change is the change of opinion among ufologists who think that they were going to get something from Obama, D. Gregg, who teaches adult education courses on UFOs at New Mexico State University, says. Gregg presented a lecture on crop circles at the symposium held September 11th through 13th in the small village 25 miles outside of Taos. The event drew more than 150 attendees to listen to 10 lectures covering everything from monster hunting to UFOs and alternative energy and more. And while the speakers disagree on theories and explanations, they largely agree that Obama has not made paranormal research and UFO disclosure as high a priority as they had hoped. Well, you know, I love this subject as much as anybody else, guys, but I think when you got the economy in free fall and you've got Russian subs patrolling both coasts and you've got all the crazy stuff that's going on, you know, trying to change everything inside out, I tend to think he's probably not thinking about the paranormal. So I commend them for their thoughts, but I'll tell you something, classified media is something that the government is just not going to turn loose of unless it's already well and good that everybody knows about it already. And interesting article, but go ahead and search on this. It's paranormal experts feel alienated by Obama. If you search on that in Google, you'll find this article. And very interesting. It goes on and on. It's a very long article, but bottom line is we all know UFOs are out there. We know this stuff's for real. And hi to everybody. We got quite a few folks in the room. Jimi Hendrix? Oh, you guys are still on Patrick. Way to go. Okay, so anyway, we'll move on to the next item. This is interesting. Let's see. BioSeries 10. Celebrity paranormal stories. Speaking of these type of things, this is a real short article, but... the Bio Channel is going to be exploring the paranormal stories of well-known celebrities as part of its new series, Celebrity Ghost Stories, premiering October 3rd. The nine-hour episode series produced by Jarrett Creative will feature the stories of real-life encounters with the paranormal from such celebrities as Joan Rivers, Scott Baio, Carrie Fisher, Tom Arnold, Neil Long, Dee Snider, Gina Gershon, Justine Bateman, Jay Thomas, Tracy Lords, and Ernie Hudson. Now, so, that's surprising how many folks have had these things in the celebrity community. That's interesting. In the series premiere episode, late actor David Carradine, in one of his last interviews prior to his death this past June, gives his views of life after death and talks about being visited by the jealous spirit of his wife's ex-husband, according to the Bio officials. So... mark that on your calendar, October 3rd. That's pretty good. Let's see. We're going to probably do just a couple more. Paranormal pets. I don't know about you guys in the chat room. How many of you have pets that you think have seen ghosts or have reacted to spiritual presence? So why don't we ask that question and see who out there can maybe tell a story or two. So I'll look in on that while I read this story. Let's try to get this to stay on. There we go. This is from Share, which is in Rodeo. The site name is rodeo.cincinnati.com, and it's dated September 17th. Paranormal pets wanted. If you believe that your pet is sensitive to paranormal activities, you are invited to bring your pet to Bobby Mackey's Music World Friday afternoon from 4 to 8. So it's already over, but there's an interesting twist here. That's why I'm reading the story off. The goal is to see how your paranormal pet reacts to alleged paranormal activities at Bobby Mackey's Music World in Wilder, Kentucky. This unique function will be hosted by local paranormal investigators Dan Smith and Terry Casper, no relation to the Friendly Ghost. All registrants will be observed and names passed on to an unnamed television production company considering the creation of a national series about paranormally sensitive animals. Mr. Smith and Ms. Casper have also authored a soon-to-be-released book called Ghosts of Cincinnati, and more details to be announced soon. So let's see. Let me look here. No, you guys haven't talked anything about any paranormal animals there, so we're just going to go on. I just hope some of you had at least your cats look up. My cat looks up almost weekly. We'll still be sitting in the den and look over, and the cat's tracking something. It's moving by, and we see nothing. And then she'll react and either back off and hiss and spit, or she'll take off running, and she's acting like she's getting chased by something. And we think she's kind of nuts anyway, but I tend to think she's seen some things. Bergie seems to feel that most animals are sensitive to that. No, I wonder if they just see them routinely and think it's part of the norm, you know, especially cats. They just seem to have that inherent ability, whereas I'm not sure about dogs, but it'll be interesting to see what the outcome of this is. And let's see, we've already covered Mercury retrograde. I am going to read one more thing about Mercury retrograde. It was a little less technical here than the first page. What is a Mercury retrograde? And it says this happens 3 to 4 times per year when the planet Mercury slows down and appears to stop or station itself for a short time and then moves backward, which is retrograde. It's an optical illusion since there's forward movement like speeding by a slow-moving train, and as it recedes, it appears to go backward. So the dates for this year were January 11th through the 31st, May 6th through the 30th, September 6th through the 29th, what we're currently in, December 26th to January 15th, 2010. So probably not a good idea to be out doing anything crazy on New Year's for 2010. What happens during a Mercury retrograde? Since Mercury rules communication, it's said that everything goes haywire in that area. Emails get deleted or bounced back, mails returned, calls go out into the ethers, etc. Some people find that the computers go on the fritz or phone lines go down. I've never seen hard data on this, so make your own observations. It does seem, though, that the miscommunications abound during a retrograde period. Now, tonight I had one heck of a time at the studio, and a normally very reliable wireless connection was just giving me nothing but trouble, and I'm relying on a very iffy connection right now, so I hope the god Mercury is with me tonight. So, and they say here, be non-committed. There's a long-held belief that it's best to avoid making plans during the Mercury retrograde. This means being cautious about things like signing contracts and forming partnerships and corporations. What gets put in writing at this time may turn out to need serious revising after Mercury goes direct, but since tying up loose ends is the domain of the retrograde, this type of finalization might fly. Can you repeat that? It says here, in our relationships, sometimes we gloss over things that pushed buttons at the same time, but which we let slide. What seemed not worth the trouble may reveal itself as a major issue in need of our attention. That's what happened at work. Oh, my God. The Mercury retrograde is a time for review when the underlying patterns come to light. So it's actually a good thing, although it really is sucky, you know. What's this? Dead air almost sounds like a social retrograde. Sounds like a blog talk every night. Yeah, I hear you. What does it mean in each sign? The Mercury retrograde is shaped by the sign that it's passing through or which it is cast. For example, a Mercury retrograde in Cancer turns the mind towards things like family, home, and invisible emotional bonds that connect us. On the other hand, a Mercury retrograde in Aquarius gives a different spin with a review of the group dynamics, the larger human community, and all from a detached perspective. And finally, making the most of a Mercury retrograde, astrology is a tool that can make you aware of patterns like those that come during a Mercury retrograde. Just observe and see what happens and be open to the past, returning for a review. If it's coming back, there's likely something more to learn or to release from it. And you don't have to retreat from the Zen to a Zen monastery, but a little solitude and quiet reflection never hurt anybody. So I think that's pretty much it for news and commentary today. We're going to be having our guest on here, Renee Martin. And I hope I'm saying that right, Renee, if you're listening. So we're going to be calling her in about 5 or 6 minutes. We're going to go ahead and put a little music on and take a break and give everybody a chance to do what they've got to do. Grab some coffee or go to the bathroom if you need to. And we'll be waiting here with the music a playing. So I'm going to take a brief second to, because my glasses are even, I lost my glasses even in this dang thing. So hang on a sec. I think we'll play something that I really like. Let's play a little Ghost Riders in the Sky. Let's try that. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. Thank you.
GRI is filmed on location by the men and women of Ghost Rider Investigations. All cases are suspect until proven genuine through scientific analysis and testing.
And that's all I'm talking about. Let's see, we are going to go ahead and dial in. I'm still booting the other computer. Mercury retrograde, folks. I mean, I was sitting there, and my little XT broadcast computer never has a problem, right? I'm sitting there chatting with you guys, and all of a sudden the whole screen goes purple, and I'm going, what? And so I've got everything switched over to the main broadcast computer right now. Thank God I've got reserve capacity all over the place in here, so we're going to get that checked out and find out what's going on with that. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and dial our guest, Renee, and let's see that we can get her on. Let's see if she answers. And hopefully she'll... Oh, still learning how to do this. Hello, Renee?
Yes?
You are on the air with Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio.
Oh, hello, everybody. Hello, John.
Hi. Well, we made the connection, and thank God the technology is sort of working tonight. We've had an interesting Mercury retrograde. Still there? Yeah. Can you hear? Boy, we are having a time of it, folks.
Oh, okay, that's a little better.
Yeah, we're having some fun with the. We've had trouble with the equipment, which never has trouble. Okay, everybody, I think now we're. I think we're back. So the Grim. With this. Kick off for this. And see if this helps. You know what? I'm going to try. Can you hear me? I'm going to go ahead. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We're going to try this a little. I'm not sure what to do right now, so let me think about this. I'm just getting this other computer back online. Stand by, everybody. And we're having a little bit of fun here. I'm going to go ahead and play a little bit of music to kind of keep things going while I fix a couple of things. So stand by, everybody. Try this a little better. I moved some things around and got this other. Are you still with me there, Renee?
I am. Yes. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Tell you what. I've got the problem is I can only take so much load on this one broadcast system. So I'm sorry, everybody. What happened was we've had a bad set of everything that could go wrong today has gone wrong with the broadcast setup. So I've been challenged. So anyway, hey, welcome aboard, and sorry I had to go through all those ministrations, but tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, I do a lot of things, actually. I try to keep myself busy, and I've been doing a lot of spiritual development and, just for the last year and a half, and I've been a medium. I'm going to use the word sensitive, not a medium. I've been sensitive my whole life. And when I was about 15, that's the spark back that I could remember really experiencing spirit activity. And back then, I could see them. I could feel them. I could hear them. But I was born and raised in a very religious family. And I didn't understand what I was seeing. And, of course, the religion, if you're seeing, especially dead people, that's never, it was too weird for them to, my parents or anybody around me to really, understand, or I had nobody to really go to and talk to about it. So I just basically just stopped the transmissions, I guess, or just really just kind of ignored it, and it did go away for a while, and I don't remember really experiencing anything, until after I had kids. And once I had kids, they got to a certain age. My husband at the time, his brother, was shot and murdered, and died a very negative death, you know. And so his ashes were put in our house on our mantle, which was fine, you know. I didn't have a problem with that, but apparently it had brought in, opened an actual portal. I found out later in our house. And then all this activity just started happening, not just with me, but with my kids.
Oh, my.
And, yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was really scary for me. And, again, you know, I didn't have really, there were, you know, nowadays there's ghost hunters everywhere. You know, I mean, ghost investigators, paranormal, you know, medium, psychics, clairvoyants. But it's not like people can come out of the closet and go, okay, it's okay to be, you know, I'm a paranormal investigator or I'm a medium, and, you know, it's more accepted, you know, nowadays. But when I was a kid, you know, back then, you know, like 15 years ago, it wasn't.
Yeah, I understand. Totally.
Yeah, so, you know, so anyway, so that's kind of a long story what happened in the house. I'll have to tell you one day. It was really kind of something else. But that got me started just trying to understand how these things happen. I actually went to a local place in Sacramento. It was a psychic institute, and I had these panel of readers read for me because I didn't know who else to turn to, really. And one of the three, this one girl, I'll never forget this, she had blonde hair, and she was very tapped in. She was walking through my house, and I couldn't figure out, how did she see where my furniture is placed, and how did she know that my hallway ends and the bedroom is where they are? You know, and it was really hard for me to wrap my head around that. And so then she tells me there's a portal and there's spirit, there's a family member and it's a brother, and she starts telling me all these details about you know, my brother-in-law. And the clincher was, she told me, she said, well, there's other spirits there, and one of them's name sounds like a door. And my brother-in-law's best friend, who committed suicide about a year or two before he died, before my brother-in-law died, his name was Ador. You know, and I'm like, okay. So I knew she was for real. And I never understood it. So years had gone by after this, and I was alone with my two girls living in a place, and it seemed like every single house I went to, it was haunted. Or, you know, why was it every time I went to a house and my curse, why are they following me? You know, I still didn't get it. I wasn't understanding it. And my abilities started growing and growing, and I basically just did a lot of self-help. You know, I just went on the internet and read books and stuff.
Yeah.
So now, long story short, I go out, and I really put myself in the line of fire. I was really afraid, and I thought it was negative, and I thought it was bad, and I had a lot of preconditioned, you know, notions in my head about spirit and about why they're unaffected by them, not everybody else is. But I think that a lot of people are, and they just don't want to admit it, or they don't know how to handle it, or they think it's dark. And I did for a long time, and then about a year and a half ago, I really, you know, just kind of jumped right into going into dealing with ghosts and dealing with spirit and trying to understand why why I'm seeing them and why I'm experiencing what I'm experiencing with them.
What do you think the catalyst was to make that shift, to go from, you know, being afraid and looking at it from the, you know, your historical, you know, self, you know, the religious view, to where you're at now? What do you think made that change for you?
You know, I couldn't give you one specific thing, but at the time, I had moved in with at that time I was engaged, and my fiance and I were living together with my girls, and I was experiencing activity again, and it was, you know, I thought, okay, why is this spirit really messing with me? I mean, it was weird. I mean, like touching my hair and putting his fingers between my toes, and I never got any sleep, and it was just all of a sudden, just out of nowhere. And again, I was more agitated and irritated because I follow paranormal stuff. Ghost Hunters was like the show. I watched it religiously, okay? I didn't miss it. If I wasn't there, I was taping it, you know? And so I've always had this really weird, you know, desire to watch movies like this. And so anyway, this happened, and this wasn't that long ago. This was just when this happened. We had another paranormal team come out, and they you know, worked with us, and then they had two sensitives come in. And I was excited, and I was like, I wanted to know everything. I wanted to pick their brain. I was like, you know, how do you do what you do? I want to do that because I want to know. I want to know. I want to know. It's just like a fun. I guess at that point I was just, I need to have an answer. I can't just do this on my own anymore. And I started reaching out to people. And this one group came and told us what was there, and it kind of freaked my daughter out because she was really affected by it and didn't really tell me about it. So I think it was all of that, and with my daughter, with this last activity that I had in my house, and I don't know. It just seems like one day I just woke up and I start, all of a sudden I'm working with the ghost hunting group, and I'm going to clairvoyant meetings, and I go to every meetup.com meeting there is. It has to do with spiritual, and I just really just jumped in, and I haven't stopped ever since. Since June of last year, I've just been go, go, go. And so I think a lot of people are really experiencing that too. And
I know so. I mean, many of our guests that come on talk real similarly to what you've been experiencing. And it's funny you bring up the thing with the feet because earlier this year, you know, I'm on a property here in Shingle Springs, you know, going towards Lake Tahoe, and just up from a common friend you and I know. I woke up in the morning, probably about 2:30 in the morning, to someone grabbing my feet and trying to pull me out of my bed in my single room studio. And I had the same exact, I think, reaction that you did. I felt like I was really pissed off at it. I mean, I got up and started cursing. I went, "What in the hell are you doing in my house? You guys, I hunt you. You don't come into my house." I was sitting there like, "Argh." And I went and grabbed the sage and started staging everything, and then you know, did some blessings, and then had a couple of friends come in and know what to do, and cleared the place. But you know, I honestly think it was not it was nothing but a kind of a prank on their part, but it was very disturbing. You feel like your privacy got violated, you know? I don't know. Is that how you reacted to it?
Yeah. I mean, and this is kind of embarrassing to say, but I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one that's happened to, but your privacy does get invaded because the thing is that they are bothering you. It's like, okay, well, you need to set up house rules. And I actually had one spirit one time that I woke up to it kind of messing with me, if you know what I mean.
Oh.
And I was so mad because I felt so violated, and I'm like, I had no control over it, and I was like waking up, and it really scared me. At this point, I was sleeping on the couch because it was the same spirit that was on in this last house, and it was like, it was really messing with me. I mean, I was exhausted on top of everything else because I wasn't getting any sleep, and it seems like what I found is that as soon as they know that you know they're there, okay, like, you walk into somebody's house and you're just a friend, and you know, you can sense them. Like, they're like little dogs, like wagging their tail, like, oh, somebody can see me, somebody knows I'm here, you know. And it's like they'll get real excited and you either get messed. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm so.
Either you're just gonna get messed with or you're not, and you know, it does kind of invade your privacy. But I've always told people that I've went to other homes and just friends that will call and say, you know, what do I do? And I'm like, you've got to communicate, you know, even if it's just talking out loud. Somebody told me that one time, and I said, no way. I am not going to talk out loud to a spirit, because I was afraid they could talk back to me, you know. And until I really started understanding the way it worked, and I meditate a lot, and I tell people that meditating is so great for you. Not only does it help you just ground, but it helps if you really want to communicate with, you know, with whatever's in your house, and you can ask, you know, and you can get some information for yourself. But anyway, that kind of went off subject. But yeah, I mean, I do sometimes feel that way, but I feel like I have more control now because it doesn't scare me, and I'm not afraid of it now.
It's funny because, you know, when my father, you know, a lot of you in the audience know about my father's stroke a couple of years back and all the things that have happened. And it turns out that it's very common for, you know, paranormal phenomena to happen around a very ill family member. And so we had a big spike in the activity immediately begin, and have been pretty consistent in kind of waves for the last 2 years. And we go through these periods where when he's going to start to have seizures, we'll get a lot of activity kind of warning us. And we're still, and I'm looking at it from a professional paranormal view sometimes, that I think maybe is it him doing it, or is it actually a combination of him and, you know, family members coming in? And I tend to think that's more of it. But what was interesting was about, you know, that got me into all this, and I started talking to the ghosts on my property, and I had the same experience you did, where a couple of them were, turned out to be a real couple of jokers, and they were really into messing with me. Until I, you know, and I think that's one of the ones that came in and decided he was going to, you know, test the boundaries, and he found out he got thrown right out. But, you know, it just, I kind of came to the conclusion that rarely will I talk to the ghosts on my own property unless I have a compelling reason to go out and maybe test some equipment. I'll acknowledge them, and I do take them out gifts at the holidays and things like that, so but it's on my terms. So I don't know if you've come to that same place.
That's great. No, I mean, that's great that you've gotten to that point, because because we are in charge. Because they to me, they've left the physical world and now are spirit. So they're just energy, you know, and they're a memory, I guess, of what they used to be physical, because they don't have a physical body anymore. To me, it's either them, your relatives, your friends hanging around, because, or guides, you know, I mean, we all have guides, and a lot of people believe that, some people don't, but I think that they, you know, because guides are, you know, are similar, they have energy as well, so a lot of it's energy, and it could be when you're experiencing energy, and this is your dad you're talking about?
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, I mean, it could very well be, you know, relatives that are coming through and just being there to comfort you guys, too, you know, not just your dad, but to be, you know, comforting you. My aunt, she passed away. I'm going to tell you this really quick story. She passed away in February. She's my favorite aunt. I loved her to pieces. I have, you know, there's three sisters, my mom and her two sisters. And she smoked her whole life. And she got real sick. And started getting really bad vertigo, and this was in December of last year, and they thought maybe she had like inner ear infection or something, you know, because she was having vertigo type symptoms, and it just kept getting worse. And they never x-rayed her. They never, you know, every time she'd go in, they'd give her some pills and say, okay, be on your way. So that was in November. December comes around, and she's really sick now. She can't go to work. She can't get out of bed. She has to, you know, lean up against the pillow, and she was in the ER, and then she came back out. Then she went back in the ER, like, right after Christmas,
right.
Sometime in January. And she had, when we took her, she had this massive brain tumor. And they did the surgery, and, you know, it didn't work, because it spread everywhere. And when she passed away in February, it was like they brought her home on hospice care. And while she was in there, it was like there's so much energy that I couldn't even be in the room for very long, because there was so much energy. And it was like, was the energy coming from the family members? Because I'm sure there was a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress, and that causes, you know, energy spikes probably. And or was it relatives? No, I had her son come to me, and just prior to when she had surgery, and he had died. And I was doing, she wanted me to do a reading on her health. And instead, her son comes through. And so he could have been there, you know what I mean? It could be her mom in there. It could be a lot of things, I think. But the really interesting thing is after she passed away, she smoked outside. My mom and her lived together, and when she would smoke outside my mom's door, because she's not allowed to smoke in the house. When she died that morning at like 9 o'clock in the morning, at about 3 o'clock in the morning, I went outside to do laundry. You know, so when I opened the door, on my mat is a crumpled up pack of cigarettes and an empty bottle of water. And it was the weirdest thing. It really kind of freaked me out. I thought, well, who would do such a thing?
Yeah.
And then I looked at the pack, and I called up my mom, and then I called my sister, and I called my mom, and I wanted to know, well, what kind of cigarettes did Aunt Janet smoke? And they were the exact same pack of cigarettes that she smoked.
Oh, my.
And the water bottle that she drank. And I was sitting there thinking, he do that, you know? So it's just such a big mystery. I mean, spirit is such a mystery, but it's just not, I just don't see it as something to be feared. I think a lot of people just get afraid because it's the unknown, and Hollywood's made spirit, you know, has done a great job, and religion too, you know, making it negative.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, I mean, I've been doing this quite a while now, and I find that, you know, kind of like what I was saying earlier in the show, I don't know if you were listening, but I've often found that if you just treat them with some respect and go out there and talk to them like you would talk to any other person and be respectful, it's not going to be the big Hollywood thing. It's a very almost mundane thing, but, you know, they just want you to know they're there. And they want to, some of them are, you know, a little bit naughty at times. It's like what you were talking about. But often, more often than not, you have very amicable folks, you know, and I think that they're just trying to get attention. And that just seems to me to be the aim of them. And when you, it's just like you said, when they get that attention, they are just like puppy dogs, and you have to set some ground rules.
Yeah, house rules are huge because, you know, if they want to coexist, you got to have house rules or they're just going to run your life, and then you're going to be exhausted and tired and scared all the time, you know?
Yeah, it was funny. When my dad had the stroke, I've told this story a couple of times. I was sleeping up at the main ranch house, kind of supporting my mother because she was just so freaked out. And dad was in critical condition in the, you know, up at the Marshall Hospital, and I woke up to somebody blowing on my back, and I ripped around. It was early morning. I look around, and there's no one there, and I happened to mention it, and I felt like somebody was smiling at me. I felt like a man was smiling at me. I had this vision of this tall man, and I brought it up to my mother, and she laughed, and she says, "That's something your Uncle Mike would do to people when he was alive." And he had passed, and I had been actually very instrumental in his passing because he had... I was kind of the person that held the family together because they were, none of them were able to really cope with what was happening. He had mesothelioma in 2003. So I don't know what it was, but I was talking about things and it was coming from someplace and it was not me. Like I was channeling the stuff. I knew exactly what was going to happen. I knew who to talk to, when to talk to, and bring them together, what to do. And about 5 minutes before he passed, then I took my vow and left the family to be there. But he... we've had many sightings of him on the property ever since, but he's a real joker. He likes to blow on your back, and I found this out. It was him. So it's turned out to be very comforting. It's occasionally disturbing. You know, you see half a torso walk by. You know, you're scratching your head going, "What the hell did I just see?" And then you realize, you know.
That's really cool. I mean, even now, it's still a little bit unsettling because, why? You know, I mean, I always want to know why? How did they come back? Where are they going? You know, what are they doing? Where are they at? You know, I mean, I'm like, have so many questions, and that was one of the things that's great, you know, because on this path that I'm on, I'm sure to get the questions answered, you know, eventually, and little pieces come, you know, here and there, and, you know, but it's amazing. I think it's just so amazing that, you know, and there's been so much evidence. It's like UFOs. It's like, how can we not believe that there's UFOs? You know, we have all this evidence, and, you know, but some people are just like, no, 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 and, you know, we're the only planet in the universe, and that kind of thing. It's like spirit activity is just so amazing to me, and it's much closer to me than UFO activity, because I've never been really, I never got into UFO stuff, but, you know, not to say that it's not real, but spirit's always been around me, so it's something that I can relate to. I just find it really exciting and fascinating at one level, at some level, you know.
You know, it's funny. I was just thinking about this today. It occurred to me, you know, I work in the rocket propulsion business, and, you know, we talk about these things all the time, and I was just doing the show prep work today, and I got thinking, I went, you know, I wonder, you know, if you were on another planet, alien life, there must be ghosts of aliens. I mean, if they do, you know, which I firmly believe they exist. I was around a lot of people who knew a lot of things and pretty much, you know, convinced me that all of it was basically real. And when you, what's funny is if you take a look at the UFO question, it's, you know, 13.7 billion with a B year old universe. And to think that somebody hasn't cracked star travel by now is ludicrous. I mean, so you know, there's could be civilizations 2 million years ahead of us, and surely they're getting around, and they're probably stopping here for supplies and a snack, and then they head on to what they got to do, you know? I mean, but I've wondered if any alien ghosts, I wonder, you know, I think things like this, I mean, and this is how I think. I go, okay, so you're an alien ghost. You know, can you just go anywhere, or are you stuck on the planet that you died on? You know, I mean, what are the rules? I think the same way. I mean, to me, it's miraculous that there are ghosts in the first place. But then you got to look at you know, the rest of the universe, and you go, how does the whole thing work? How's this all tie together? Why are ghosts? I mean, why do they exist? I mean, it's to me, it's just unbelievable. And the and what's the game with this? I mean, when we go hunting them, and then they play games with us, and then they get all like shy on us. Why the hell do they do that? I don't get that. That's crazy. Oh. It's maddening.
They don't want to jump through hoops that evening. Who knows?
I don't know. I think that they just like to piss us off. I really do.
Yeah, they do become shy, you know. And I've gone in some investigations, and I'll tell you, I'll walk into a house, and I'll know where the energy's at. I'll just know. I don't know how I know. I just like a magnet. It's like, okay, which way do I go? Well, I'll make a right turn. This room feels good. This seems like blood activity. That's where we'll end up. Everybody will be at one point because that's. A lot of times that's kind of a hot spot. But yeah, you know, sometimes I'll walk in and I'll feel energy, but nothing on the EVP, you know, and I'll get some orbs, but, you know, nothing, you know, real substantial, you know. Sometimes I will. Sometimes I'll get stuff and, you know, like, just amazed, and or it's just a personal experience, you know.
How do you feel? I'm a sensitive myself, and a lot of the people who've been in my group have had various abilities, and but I'm not like one of those ones that can do it on a dime. You know, I just happen to know when stuff's there, but sometimes I see them in my mind's eye, so I'm wondering for you, how does it work for you? How do you know when you're in the presence of something?
For me, it's kind of the same. It's I'll feel it, I'll just feel it, and then if I'm in a certain area, and especially if I sit and kind of do a little breathing exercise, you know, like you're going to meditate, then it'll be like a video playing in my head, or I don't know, it's just like a knowing. Like I went to this one place, and we had, it was a really interesting place in San Mateo, and there was a lot of activity there, and I felt like there was a lot of kids and a lot of men, and they were right by the water. And it was college kids. They're all kind of sharing this house. It's a big Victorian house.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of activity there. I mean, you know, a lot of the investigators that are there, not all of them are sensitive, but everybody had their own personal experience. And I just really got the sensation like it was a mission. There is a mission here or somewhere close by because there was a lot of men and a lot of kids, and it made me think of a mission, you know? And then I was getting validation, you know, and I was, you know, we would take breaks because we got there really early. And I was talking with one of the girls that was also sensitive and didn't know it, you know, and she's telling me stuff. I'm like, well, did you ever think that you're sensitive? And so anyway, I'm telling her what my mind sees. And she's going, I've seen that same girl with the long black hair. And I said, yeah, she's always with the tall guy. Yeah. You know, we're just seeing validation. So that's kind of what I see. And sometimes I'll hear them, you know, in my ear, like not on the EVP, but I'll hear them. You know how you felt when your Uncle Mike would kind of play with your back or touch your back or pull on your back?
Yeah.
When I hear them in my ear, that's what it feels like. It feels like a whisper. It feels like something blue and on my ear physically, but there's sound with it.
Now, how long have you been doing this? Because I've got a leading question here. So how long have you been going in this direction, you know, just ballpark, years of doing this?
Investigation?
Yeah.
Since June of last year.
Okay, that would tie in. Now, what's funny is I'm finding a kind of a common set of themes with investigators, and those of you in the chat room kind of throw some things at you here too on that same subject. Is I've noticed a common set of themes with investigators where you know, someone will go out, start doing ghost hunts and ghost investigations, and all of a sudden they're paranormal. You know, not only do they have more paranormal experiences because ghosts are following them around, but they're also, their abilities seem to enhance. And in my own case, this happened where I'd had clairaudience my whole life, but it was not a regular thing. I'm much more clairaudient than I've ever been. I can hear them sometimes just right out loud, but it's always a short sentence and then it's gone, but it's a good way for me to know they're there. So I mean, it sounds to me like, you know, the same sort of themes seem to play out with investigators, you know, as they get repeatedly more and more exposure to this.
You know, and this is just my opinion, but the people are, if there are people who call themselves investigators and then are putting themselves into a group and actually going out and investigating spirit activity, I would tend to think that every single one of them are sensitive at some level, because something's drawing them to being, you know, I mean, how many people would go, oh my God, you know, they're afraid of ghosts, and then you're in a line of fire and you put yourself in a position of being contacted. I mean, you could potentially go to an investigation and, you know, if you don't really protect yourself and keep yourself grounded, you know, you could bring one home with you. I mean, there's a lot of things that can transpire when you go on an investigation, which I'm sure people that do this sort of thing have got to know on some level. So I think that these people are sensitive. I mean, I think that, well, everybody is sensitive to some level. I don't like to use the word psychic because that's kind of got like a four-letter word. People say psychic and they're like, oh, you're a fortune teller, and, you know, so I try to stay away from the psychic. But sensitives are just coming up everywhere. I mean, they're everywhere. And if you're doing paranormal investigation, it's only natural for your abilities. And then you're going to find some abilities. Like just recently for myself, I've never really done this before. I've been interested in it, but I've never done it. So when I'm doing a reading for someone, like I'll use this for example. I was reading for a girl who contacted a paranormal group I'm working with in just kind of like, please help me. And just she started writing to people randomly. And she's in South Africa.
Yeah.
And she's like, please help me. I think I'm a sensitive. I've got ghosts everywhere I turn. You know, can somebody please just talk to me? And, you know, the manager at the time spread out the word, and I talked to her, and we became friends, and I started kind of mentoring her and talking to her. And I did a reading for her, and I started doing this, like, remote viewing, where I'm standing in her house, like the girl I told you about that was in my house, and I couldn't figure out how, you know, she was doing that. And now all my readings, ever since then, I'm standing in these people's homes, and I can tell you where your furniture's at, I can tell you what color's on your walls, like what pictures are placed where, you know, and it's not something I've done before. So yeah, I really do believe that we're all sensitive, and the more you use it, the more you, you know, participate or exercise that part of you, the more your abilities are going to enhance, absolutely.
Do you feel, another thing, a theme I've noticed, and I'll just run this by you, is that I've noticed too that if you do a lot of paranormal investigation, if you go into it so hard that you're kind of overbalancing yourself, if you will, you're kind of out of balance, I notice that these people tend to get ill more often, and
they tend to get what again?
They get sick. They're more prone to illness, and I've concluded that there's kind of a threshold, just in my own experience, that there's a threshold of how much I can do in a month, investigation-wise, because I think that, you know, as an investigator, and I run GRI, and I go out there, and I go into graveyards, I go into these places, but I think that there's a threshold of probably about three, four times a month is about all I can handle, and then I have to have some off time to recover from it. And I just want to get your perspective on that and what you think.
I think that my opinion is that if you go out and do ghost investigations and you're not grounding yourself or even preparing yourself in some level before you put yourself out there, then you're going to start feeling that way. I've had people go on investigations and they're feeling nauseous, or they're, you know, their head's spinning, they're having vertigo, they have to go outside, they can't breathe. You know, I mean, if you're around spirits, and you put yourself into spirit, I mean, spirits are around us all the time, you know, in our homes, there's spirit. You know, you might not notice it, but, you know, some are more active than others. And if you put yourself in an active area that you know is active, and you're going to experience what the people there living in the house are experiencing, especially it's up to the spirit, you know. So, I mean, you can definitely start having, you know, vertigo or, you know, them coming in and out of you. If you don't protect yourself and keep yourself grounded, that just to me sounds like, it's the grounding thing, and it's possible you're getting overload because you've got to be able to release all of that too, you know. So you don't want to be a sponge. So if you walk into an investigation and you don't ground yourself and you don't put an intention around you and saying, you know, nothing's coming into my energy field unless I invite it in, then you kind of walk in like a sponge and you're going to soak up anything that's there, including the feelings that the people are having in the home. So if the people in the home are freaking out because they've got ghosts, you're going to collect that energy too. Like, it's like a piece of cotton candy with sticks without the cotton candy on it yet. You know, you're going to go around the home in every little place with your EP monitor and all your gear, and then you're going to collect and have a big cotton candy, ball of cotton candy when you get done of everybody's energy. So it's possible that's what you're feeling.
Well, it's funny because I do basically prayer before I go into any particular thing. But one thing I found, which I'll pass this on, it's just a little tip. My mother is very good with stones, and she likes collecting different sorts of minerals and things like that. And she purchased me a zircon, a gold zircon, and I found that it's a protection stone that a lot of military men wear into battle. And it's very protective. So I've got a, on every investigation I go on, I have my gold zircon on. And I've noticed I've done a lot better since I've had that. But I do still believe that there's a, even with all the protection, I think that you need to measure your energy and really be honest with yourself before you go out on an investigation. If you're feeling sick, especially to the audience listening, don't go. It's really not. It's not a good thing to do. You're going to potentially get an attachment, or somebody's going to come home with you, and they're going to take advantage. And I will not investigate sick. I'll cancel an investigation, no matter how good it is, no matter if I'm going to meet some famous people. I won't go. It's just not worth it. You know, your health is more important than some investigation, because those come and go. So, now, as far as the readings, I'm curious about, you progressed into reading people. And so can you talk about that?
When I started doing ghost investigations, I also started learning the tarot, and I was just hooked, because it was a lot of different modalities. I just started learning a lot of different modalities. And over the last year, I really didn't start doing reading. I started doing like readings like friends and, you know, just kind of, you know, just doing it. I wasn't charging money or anything like that. And I still do on donation a lot of the time. But I just started moving into that. I just felt like that was the next step. It just was something that I kept feeling like, okay, I need to do this now. And so I started experimenting. And when I started reading people, I was really getting a lot of this. I mean, I was really getting validation, like, oh wow, and I didn't know I could do that, you know. So so I kept practicing it, and then I had a Sacred Heart Core was out .com, and that one, it kind of went away. But it was then when I started doing even more readings and just keep putting myself out there, and my style of reading has changed a lot, you know, just in the last year. I was doing tarot, and I really didn't feel that connected with other people doing it, so I started doing it for myself. But then someone came along and said, another medium friend, and she said, why don't you just not do the cards and just read them? And so people would sit in front of me, and I would start reading them, and I would, not only was I reading them, but spirit would come through, like their grandmother, always grandparents, seemed like always the grandparents would come through, you know. And I would, like, I'd go, okay, well, you know, I'd ask them, you know, because not everybody wants to know. And it was really kind of a John Edwards style of reading. It was just something that would pop in there. It's not something that they said, hey, Renee, I want to connect with my grandmother. But grandparents or friends would definitely come through. And then I thought, well, okay, I even now I do energy readings more for just to help people. I don't do it for fortune telling or, you know, am I going to get the job that I really want? I like to read people and give them tools so that they can learn how to do it themselves. You know, I mean, everybody can do this. Or give them some tools and say, well, you know what, try this and send some energy to this person. Here's a girl who recently I helped, and it was amazing. She had this girlfriend, and they didn't talk for a year, I guess. Something happened that the girl I was reading for couldn't figure out why. She wouldn't return her emails, and she wouldn't return her phone calls, and there was no closure for her. And it was, I think it was, she said it was 9 months had gone by with nothing. So she reached out to me and said, can you help me and tell me what's her problem or what can I do. So I read for her, and we figured out what it, or I figured out, you know, told her what it was, and she said, okay, that makes sense. And I said, well, just do this, you know. I'm like, just put out the energy and then walk away from it. You know, don't hold on to it because you're putting yourself into the future and or in the past. You've got your energy self in the future, in the past right now because you want, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
She did what I told her to do, and 3 days later, her friend called her, and they made sense. So, you know, it was great. It made me feel so, it was so rewarding because I was able to give her the tools that she needed, and she helped herself. I didn't do it for her. I just gave her some information. You know what I mean? Like going.
Yeah, teach somebody to, you know, either you fish and provide food for them, or you teach them how to fish and they feed themselves. And yeah, I know exactly. And I'm wondering if that friend of yours might have the first name Gail, who taught you some of these things.
Say that again?
Would the person who taught you to do the energy readings, would that have been Gail, by any chance?
No, but I love Gail. I've been working, I've gone to a couple of Gail's meetups, and she's great. And just recently, her and I have been working a little bit together, and I look to her as a mentor.
You stole it.
Herself. I didn't have anybody to really teach me how. Self-taught myself.
Well, it's funny, you know. I briefly flirted with readings probably 20 years ago, and I got into it. And I, just about the time I had met Gail, and I got into doing that, some of that myself. And I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying, because I think that everyone, you know, all of you in the audience, people you know, all have these abilities latent within us. And I found that I had a particular bent for picking up objects, and I could read objects. Or if I would touch a person and hold their arm or just touch them for a while, I could sense the medical things going on with them. And I would call it out, and it would be, you know, invariably very right or very close to right. And so I really think that if you just focus on these things and you pick a skill that you want to develop, there's something about intent. You know, and I do think that that's a real big thing. And I think that once you declare that you want to do that, nature somehow finds a way to make it happen.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's great. I think, is it psychosymmetry? Is that what when you touch something, is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called psychometry. And
psychometry, I always say it wrong.
Yeah, it's
more awesome.
Medical intuitive is the other one. But I found I could not do it unless I touched them, and I didn't know why. If I would touch them, I could suddenly get flashes of what was going on inside of them, and I had no clue as to why I could do that. And I haven't done it for years. I mean, it's not, yeah, I mean, just one half of the time. But the other half is, you know, I was raised around all these, you know, earth-loving people who are really green with their thumbs and happen to be psychics and Scottish Highlanders. But it just is amazing to me that these capacities of the human mind are so universal and so easy to really activate if people just take the time.
They do. And you know what's so great is that, you know, we're going through an awakening process, and I 100% believe that. I've experienced my own, you know, experiences that, I mean, things that I've gotten through meditations, and the thousands, if not millions of people out there all talking the same talk and saying the same thing in spiritual circles. And it's like, and the only word I can use is waking up. It's like we, a lot of us have just woken up, and we all have this like burning desire to help, you know, like I need help. And I've always felt that my whole life, and more, even more so now. And, you know, I was going to talk about this or maybe to bring this up really quick, but along the lines of waking up, like the 11-11.
Yeah.
I have some friends that are listening. They're probably laughing, going, oh, Renee, 11-11, because it's something that I've experienced, like, for the last year, since I started this whole, you know, venture for the last year or so, and it's 11-11, you know, and I never understood it, and I kept hearing it, I kept seeing it, so I did a lot of research, and I just wrote an article that's on my homepage, but it's a lot of it has to do with these people, all of us, a lot of us are coming into our abilities, I mean, recognizing them and trying to understand them, you know. And so I created Selective Spirit because I felt like I was being selected, you know, and I started writing a book because I was inspired by a lady by the name of Echo Bodine, and she has a book called Relax, It's Only a Ghost. And if you haven't read it, or your readers haven't read it, get this book because you will love it. It's great.
And it
really helped me a lot as a sensitive, because she was raised as a sensitive and worked her whole life doing this. It was so awesome. But I created Selective Spirit so that people could just be around other like-minded people so that they can understand, you know, they have some kind of outlet or some way to reach other people that are experiencing what they're experiencing without really necessarily becoming a paranormal investigator. Maybe they just want someone to talk to, or they just need some, you know, input or whatever. And there's so much of it out there on the internet that I just felt like, you know, I put that together for specifically sensitive, you know, because they just...
What is the website?
It's selectivespirit.ning.com, and it's a social networking site. It's basically just information that I put out there, and I just opened it up to the public and put a chat box in there. And then sacredheartcore.net is my actual website that I put together, which also offers a lot of just information about, you know, investigations, paranormal stuff, you know, even UFO. I mean, I've got this one page on there called Mystique, and it's got the very first thing you open to is this book called The Alien Interview. And it was by the Lawrence Spencer. He did the Oz Factors. And it was a great book. I got it. Somebody recommended it to me, and I'm not really into UFO stuff, like I said, but for some reason, I felt very compelled to read it, and I couldn't put it down. I bought the PDF. It was like $5.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. It had so much information that just really kind of changed the way I viewed Earth and humans and the interaction with the galactic family, and, you know, it's just amazing.
Well, it's funny. I grew up in the military industrial complex, and my father worked out at White Sands Missile Base, and doing a bunch of advanced research out there. And so I grew up around all these missile guys who like to make things go really fast or make them go boom, you know. And I was really surprised at some of the conclusions a lot of these very learned men and women would come to, and had a lot to say about this. I won't go into it on the air because, I mean, we're coming up on the end of the show, but what I do, you know, you and I are going to meet. I think you'll be surprised at some of the things I have to say. I'll do it off air, but I'll let you know. I think things are a lot more interesting than you would tend to think.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah, the universe is a lot. I think that mankind's a lot farther along than we've been led to believe.
Mm-hmm. I believe that. I do.
And I think that there's a lot more hope than people think. You know, that's really hard to find these days, especially with the way the news is. But if I could say anything, especially during this crazy Mercury retrograde and all the BS that's been happening, there are good things happening, and there are good people out there. And what you're doing, I think, is really a good thing. You know, I think you're right on the right track. And, you know, I look forward to meeting you in person, and we can talk some more.
Absolutely. I look forward to it, too.
Okay. Well, what are your immediate plans? What are the things that are coming up for you in a couple of minutes here that you can talk about? What's coming up for you in advance, or anything that you've got going on?
I don't have really too many events coming up. I do work with another paranormal group. We're going to Truckee for a scouting mission. Selective Spirit, something that I really dialed into. I've started a YouTube channel, and basically... it's just geared towards me talking and, you know, just giving information. I started a book, like I said. I haven't finished it, but I felt like YouTube channel would be the fastest version, especially electric version. You know, people like digital and are always on the computer. So I go to my YouTube channel, which is Selective Spirit, and just do broadcasts, I guess you could call them, just putting information out there. I'm really trying to get into the readings and helping sensitives. I'm really into mentoring people and that come my way. These people are finding me. You know, I'm not really out looking for them. So I felt like this door is open, and I'm going to walk through it. So that's kind of my plan.
And it's funny. I had no idea you existed until this morning. You wrote me, and with all the craziness that was going on, I just have a feeling there was a higher purpose at work here. And I really appreciate you coming on such short notice with everything that kind of got whacked out. But I really enjoyed the having you on tonight, and I'm so sorry about all the technical difficulties. It has been one heck of a week.
Oh, you know, before we go, I want to tell you my real quick retrograde story. It's kind of interesting.
Okay.
This was back in June 6, 2006, and that would make it 666. We were in a retrograde at the time. I was, the next morning, I was going, on the 7th, it was my daughter's birthday, and I had to fly out to Arizona for work. And on that morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, on 666, the transmitter box, the big smud box that's outside, you know, on the street, the really big one, blew up out of nowhere. I mean, it was like, it was June, so it wasn't like there was a storm or anything. So it just, there was this light, and every light in the house and the whole complex was out and gone, and so we had no electricity.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was weird because right when this happened, I didn't realize it until later on, and like we were joking around about it, and it happened on 666 with the retrograde, and everything was out, and I had to leave, and later on I found out that the electricity did come back on, and so did some of the stuff. But the really interesting thing was too is that at that time, and I believe it wasn't in June, but it was more around April, our world population was like, what is it, 6 billion, 6 million, it was like 666, you know? And it was just weird coincidence, but that's kind of my weird retrograde story.
That's strange that would blow up like that. Transformers just don't do that. That's a new one for me. We're going to talk more about that. I got to know what that was because I might have to hunt there. But really appreciate you being on. I'm going to reread the URLs for everyone. SacredHeartCore.net is your main website, and then you have Selectics. Yeah. Repeat. Yes, 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 yes. All right, let's try that again. SelectedSpirit.ning.com is your social networking site. And I've been out there, and I'm a professional web designer, and I just wanted to let you know you do great work. So keep doing what you're doing, and I might even have to talk to you about doing some work for me. So what we're going to do is we're closing the show down. I'm going to do the call-outs, our traditional call-outs to all the great folks who have chosen to grace us with their presence. And so we have that guy from GRI Paranormal. I know him. We've got Bergie, 9000. We've got Dennis Crenshaw. Hi, Dennis. Good to see you. We have a whole bunch of guests, 4781-4870, 5164, 5169, and 5268, I believe. Sherry 9, who I hunted on the Hornet with, and I hope to hunt with her again. She's a nice lady. And Nocturnal Frequency, hello. I think you guys have a show out there, so good to see you guys. And let's see, we're going to be having next week, we're going to have a really good show. We're going to have the Rebecca Jordan from the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. So this is going to be a really big show, really big show. So we're going to have her on and talk about all the neat things and happenings there. By the way, a real quick announcement, the Odyssey Star events had a real problem where the negotiations fell through on that hunt that was basically going on now, 18th, 19th, and 20th. So the good folks from the Trans-Allegheny are giving a free ghost hunt to all the ticket holders. So if you go out to the Trans-Allegheny Asylum website, you'll see that information. And it's just a terrible thing that's happened with that whole event. So just take note that this is at least some good things are coming out of it. And, you know, we did our best to try to support that. They did get the Hornet event to go off, but this just couldn't work. And I just hope that people are able to get out there and actually do the hunt and enjoy themselves. And maybe a famous person or two may show up. Who knows? I'm not connected with any of that, but I certainly hope someone does drop in, like Chip Coffee or something. So that said, we're going to start winding it down. We've got 45 seconds left. So I'm going to go ahead and play a little something and just let the show run out. So this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio signing off.